Yesterday, it was an honor to be a part of the Memorial Day observance at the Person County History Museum. And the keynote speaker there was a commander from the United States Navy, retired commander, who was a pilot and worked in anti-submarine warfare and now works as a contractor with the government, but had a very poignant message about what makes this country a special place. And one of the main thrusts of his message was that when there are things that are not right in our country, this country is a great place because we work on fixing them. And it was just a powerful message. I was blessed to be a part of it. This weekend, which you know, maybe you know, I hope that you know if you don't know, is Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day is different than Veterans Day. Memorial Day is the weekend when we remember and honor those who sacrificed their lives in service to our country. And so it was a moving tribute to those who have gone before us. And so I wonder, even this morning, if there's anyone who's gathered here who has either a spouse, who lost a spouse, or a child, or a father, a parent, an uncle, in military service, where they died in the service that gave of that ultimate sacrifice. Do we have any of you with us? Yes. Well, let's have just a moment of silence to observe and honor the memories of those for whom that is their legacy, a part of their legacy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Well, this morning I want to talk a little bit about this story that I kind of retold for the children's message about someone who was not well, who Jesus asked, "Do you want to be made well?" And then I want to uncover and dig in a little bit to the answer and what happened next. And we'll talk about wellness and health for some time. And then certainly that resonates with us physically. I think those are the first things that come to mind. Certainly it's the immediate context of the story. But then John goes on and talks about sort of the trouble that this person got in and the trouble that Jesus got in after this story. And that alludes to there being something greater that's going on than just individual ill health, individual unwellness. So that might be a little more challenging as we figure out the answer to the question, do you want to be made well? And I want to begin with a story. Indian priest Anthony DeMello tells the story that there was an industrialist from the north that was horrified to find a fisherman just lying leisurely beside his boat. "Why aren't you fishing?" asked the industrialist. "Well, because I've caught enough fish for the day," said the fisherman. "Well, why don't you catch some more?" "Well, what would I do with them?" said the fisherman. "Well, you could earn more money," was the reply. "And with that, you could fix a motor to your boat, go into deeper waters, catch more fish. Then you'd make enough money to buy nylon nets. And then you'd catch more fish, maybe so many fish that you could buy another boat, maybe a fleet of boats. Then you would be a rich man like me," said the industrialist. The fisherman said, "Well, what would I do then?" And then the industrialist said, "Well, then you could really enjoy life." And the fisherman said, "What do you think I'm doing right now?" Enjoying life. Sometimes we get caught up on the wheel of life, don't we? And Jesus asks us all, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, in our scripture, sometimes later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, it says, for one of the Jewish festivals. And in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, there's a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. And there's another name in our Pew Bible that I can't even pronounce. But anyway, it is surrounded. Good job, Chris. You pronounced it. You pulled it off. You're going to be the lay reader again. Well, there were five covered areas, porticos or colonnades, and many, many people, it says, John said, used to go there and wait for God to trouble the waters, to stir the waters. You might have heard the song, the old spiritual. You know, you got to wade in the water. Have you heard that song? Wade in. And any good basses in here that could sing that? God's going to trouble, and then it just goes down through the basement, right? That God's going to trouble the waters. This scripture is where that old song came from. They waited for the stirring of the waters, and the first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. Well, a few thoughts on this. First, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a festival. We do festivals. We're doing a festival of sorts this weekend. And while he was there, he didn't go to the big parade. It says he went to the sheep gate. Now, I looked on a map of Jerusalem at that time. The sheep gate was kind of behind the temple. There was the main entrance where everybody would have come. And then out back somewhere is this sheep gate, a gate through the wall of the city. And on the other side of that gate were these pools where all of these poor and disabled people, blind and lame and mute, they were there. So Jesus could have just gone to the festival and got his kosher cotton candy, maybe, or whatever you'd get during the festival, right? Gone to the midway. But instead, Jesus went to the back. He went to the place where all of these folks that were infirmed in one way or another were waiting and had been waiting for a long time to be healed. Well, not everyone gets to celebrate in the festivals. Not everyone is the center of attention. And I remember the sermon, maybe you heard it earlier this year, where I said, that's my Jesus, the Jesus who has led us and the Jesus who will lead us. That's the Jesus that we're following. I wonder what it means that Jesus, when it was time for the festival, went way off and back to the place where all the poor and the disabled were hanging out waiting to be made well. In fact, I wonder what it means to be a Christian. Perhaps if I asked that question this morning, many of us would respond, well, to be a Christian is to believe in Jesus, that he forgave my sins, and that now I have eternal life. Well, certainly there's a lot of talk about how believing in Jesus and having life in his name is the essence of being a Christian. But perhaps being a Christian means to follow Jesus. Jesus, the people that were with Jesus are mentioned as his followers repeatedly. Following Jesus is different than believing in Jesus. It's one thing to believe in MacArthur, you know, the general from World War II. It's another thing to follow him back into the jungles, into war, right? It's one thing to believe in somebody. It's another thing to follow them. If you remember, Jesus asked his disciples not to believe in him early on. Early on, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So just how closely to follow Jesus is a big part of the journey of faith. Do we hear a passage in the Bible? Do we decide to believe it, and that's good enough? Or do we, as followers of Jesus, take up our cross daily and follow him? And how far and where do we follow? So one way to hear this scripture is to think, where did Jesus go? Jesus went to be with the sick and the infirm, to heal them. And so then we, as followers of Jesus, can follow into that place. Doesn't that make sense? Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. If you're not with me, say more of a sheepish amen. All right. There's a couple of you. That's okay. Well, that would be assuming in the scripture and in this sermon that we identify as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus. For this person, for a person who Jesus encounters today, what if we identify with the person in this scripture lesson that's just lying under the colonnade? They've been doing that, lying there without the ability to walk for the better part of 38 years, hoping that perhaps this time, if the water is stirred, they'll be the first one into the pool and receive their healing. They don't know who Jesus is. They have no idea who Jesus is. They didn't come looking for a Messiah today. This man in our scripture is just one of the masses of persons in need of healing. He's simply doing everything he can to be made well. And being made well sometimes is not an easy thing, especially because it seems that someone always gets better care and attention than he does. He says as much in the scripture lesson. And the world hasn't changed very much. That's the way of the world. You got to wait in line. You may not get yours in time. You try your best, but someone gets in ahead of you. You hope and you hope for 36 years, and 36 years turns into 37 years, and then 38 years. And on that day, this person who's just doing the same thing that he'd been doing, this stranger comes up. Now, Jesus, for his part, is there for this festival, but he's spending his time by the pool called Bethesda near the sheep gate on the backside of the temple. And while he's there, he takes the time to see this man. While he's there, John reports that Jesus learns that this man has been in his condition for a long time, which means that Jesus took an interest in learning the story of this person who's been unable to walk for so long, this person who is in with the masses of those who can't make a living for themselves and who are clustered together with others like them and who are waiting for healing. So if we believe in Jesus, we believe that Jesus did these things and went these places and talked to these people. But if we are followers of Jesus, we will ask ourselves, what does it matter that Jesus did that? Where would Jesus go if Jesus came to my town and Jesus was sort of the same now as he was then? Who would Jesus get to speak to if he came to my town? And would I go with him? And what would it feel like? What would I have to lose? So that's if we're a disciple and we want to follow Jesus. But I have to admit, some of you here might not care where Jesus went. You're not all into this Jesus thing yet. Or maybe you think ever. You just want to be made well. And maybe this story stirs up in us the realization that we are not well. We aren't well today, and we haven't been well for a long time. Maybe we're not too sure about this Jesus talk, but we are hoping that the way we feel now is not the way that we're going to continue feeling. No, we want to be made well. And if you ask us what we want, if we want to be made well, maybe we, like the man by the pool, will list out our grievances. Did you hear what he said? Jesus said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man said, "Well, I'm laying here. And every time I want to get in the pool, somebody gets in ahead of me. And I don't have any friends. They won't carry me in." That was his answer. He never said, "Yes, I want to be made well." He kind of said, "Duh," you know? To us, perhaps, Jesus asked, "Do you want to be made well?" But then, perhaps, he says to us, "Pick up your mat and walk." Because that's what happened in this story. Jesus says, "Do you want to be made well?" The man says, "Well, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening, and do you want to look at the diabetic ulcer on my foot?" And like on and on and on. And Jesus says, "Pick up your mat and walk." Not, "Do you believe in me?" Not, "When was the last time you were in church?" Not, "How much money do you have saved away?" Not, "What family did you come from?" Not, "Tell me about your political leanings." No, Jesus just says, "Pick up your mat and walk." And if that's going to happen, this man is going to have to leave his old ways behind. It may not be easy. He's been practicing his story by this pool for 38 years with all of its misery. And now he's going to have to live into a new life. For at once this man is cured, he picks up his mat and he walks, which is hard to imagine. My mom, who's here with me today, Mom, do you remember telling me this? Hi, Mom, by the way. Hi, Dad. I don't want to leave you out. A long time ago, my mom told me the story of a faith healer. I think it was in Africa that she was watching or heard about a revival of sorts. And there was a faith healer, like a person like, I don't know, Benny Hinn is on television sometimes, somebody like that. And there was a man that came to this faith healing service in a wheelchair without legs. And my mom told me the story that this faith healer put his hands on this person in Jesus' name. And the way I remember it, this person shoved himself up out of the chair and landed on feet. He didn't have legs, and when he landed, he had legs. I remember, you are looking at me like you don't remember that story, but I remember this story. It stuck with me. Now, I believe it can happen. I believe it has happened. But I can't control the spirit, and I haven't seen something drastic with my own eyes. I've seen people healed. I've seen people without legs get prosthetics. I've seen people healed from cancer and other ailments through medicine and doctors and hospitals. And I've seen people healed through their body's own restorative, healthy processes. And I've seen some people seemingly healed through what seems like divine intervention. Some of the folks I've asked God to restore and to heal have even passed from this life into eternal life. And I believe their healing is made complete, but it didn't happen in front of our eyes here. God is at work, of that I am sure. The question remains, though, do you want to be made well? For the next thing that will happen is Jesus will direct us into a new way of being. He'll say, pick up your mat and walk, and then we have to learn a new story. We have to encounter a new world with new challenges and blessings, and this is where the story gets a little bit hard. If we would have kept reading, Chris, I told you to stop at verse 9. If you would have kept reading, you would have found out that the man does indeed pick up his mat and start walking. But it's on the Sabbath, and he walks right in front of some religious leaders, and you know what they say? They don't say, wow, it's great, Mr. Man, you can walk. They said, who told you you can carry your mat on the Sabbath? That's against the law. Can you believe that? Look it up. It's in John chapter 5, right after verses 1 through 9. It's against the law to carry your mat on the Sabbath, they say. So the man says, I'm just doing what this guy said. The man who made me well told me to pick up my mat and walk. And they say, who is this person? We want to be angry at him, basically, is what they say. And the man says, I have no idea. The man didn't even know that it was Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus. All he knew was that somebody told him to pick up his mat and walk, and he did. And now he's getting in trouble. So later it says, Jesus finds him in the temple and said to this man, see, you are well again. Now, he says, stop sinning, or else something worse might happen to you. And that just became, I think, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. I thought it was just about being made well, but there's something else going on here. That happens often in John. You think you got him figured out. He's talking about someone walking after they haven't been walked. You think it's a healing story, but all of a sudden, John is making it about the Sabbath and obeying the law and getting new life and getting in trouble and sin and wholeness that transcends just our physical health. So now the man knows that it is a person called Jesus. He goes back to the religious leaders, tells them who it was that told him to pick up his mat on the Sabbath, and the Jewish leaders seek out Jesus and start yelling at him, maybe pushing him around. Maybe they even threaten to arrest him. They said, how dare you disobey the Sabbath and tell somebody to do the same? How dare you break the rules? To which Jesus says in his own defense, my Father is working every day, and so I too am working. Now that didn't go over well, because now he's not only breaking the Sabbath, he had the audacity to call God his Father, making, as John says, himself equal with God, and then the trouble really gets rolling. And I can imagine that this man who's now walking around but crossways with the religious leaders would long for the simple days when we could just lie on our mats, grumble about how all the other people beat us to the water, and get up and do the same thing again the next day. Now that we can walk, we get into all kinds of trouble. So I ask, do you want to be made well, really? For we like our habits, even if they aren't good for us. Sometimes it seems like we'd rather have our unwellness because it's familiar, rather than find our God-given mission. We want to get in shape, but we're not able to. We don't want to sweat for it. In my mother's store that she owned for a while, she rented out a space to an exercise company. And this exercise company had these tables that you could go and lay on, and they would basically do your exercising for you. You just lay there and it would move. It would be like, like that. You could get toned up and not have to break a sweat. Sometimes we want to be made well, but not not do the things we need to do. We like our habits. It happens to us as individuals. It happens to us as a big church. For many years, we've been saddled with a debt. And this is where the story gets a little bit tougher for us. We have had a debt in this church. And so for many years, when we think about what could we do? What could we do in ministry mission? Well, we can pay off the debt because it's really been a burden. If it has been a burden to the church, say amen. Amen. See, I'm not alone. It's been hard. But now we've paid it off within the last month. Praise God, we've paid off that debt. Right? Now we don't have that debt, so we're going to face a new day and walk around as we discuss what to do with our next mission and with all these things that we can do with this money that we don't have to put on the debt. And I'm sure we're going to agree 100% in how to spend all this money that we don't have to pay on the debt anymore. If you believe that, say amen. Laughter, right? I didn't even let you say it. It's not going to happen. Maybe some of us will argue, like whether to support the existing conference ministry to Zimbabwe, whether to support the Christian Help Center, whether to start something new, whether to improve some other part of their building and go in debt again. I don't know. We're going to have to walk through these tough times, and together we might come up with something that differs from our own individual opinion. Another example, youth and children. A while back in this church, there weren't very many children at all. There weren't very many youth. Today, we have over 20 kids under fifth grade in our worshiping community, and we have over 20 kids between sixth and 12th grade. That's amazing. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Praise God. We're made well. We have young people in the church again, and we want them to continue to be a part of the church, even to begin leading the church. But when they start walking, they might want to sing different songs or look at art that looks different. Or, I don't know, this hasn't been mentioned yet, but replace these beautiful fake organ pipes with some other kind of art. Don't you know? That's against the rules. And then we'll have to decide. We'll have to decide how much trouble Jesus wants us to get into. And if we want our church to thrive for decades to come, we might have to walk through some trouble. Now, time out, because I know I'm going to get shelled tomorrow and with emails. I am not proposing that the youth are saying get rid of those pipes. That was a hypothetical, hyperbolic example. Everyone agree to that? Good. Or maybe, and this is perhaps a little more serious, maybe we've been hanging on to some vestige of one of the isms, sexism, racism, or classism. Paul says in Christ there's no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. But it looks like there's only one kind of that stuff on our wall of pastors that have been here for a long time. They've all been white men, myself included. Maybe some of these isms we were raised with are less like our traditions and more like diseases, dis-ease. We have dis-ease with someone else. If we had a different pastor, maybe a woman from Korea or from the Lumbee tribe or a young African-American man, let's say, well, we've never had that. It would make us have to learn about a different culture. We'd have to confront our old biases. We'd have to grow into a new place. Some of the ways we've always been, well, we might need to leave them by the pool as we get up and take our mats, breaking evidently the rules that someone set for us a long time ago. But it wasn't really a rule. It was more like an illness. It's a dis-ease, a disease, a dis-ease with people that are different. And some folks might not be ready for that. So they will tell us that we're doing it wrong. But Jesus would find us again and say, stop sinning, or you might become worse off than you were. Friends, there's no shortage of dying churches who hold on to some of their old illnesses and would rather stay by the pool, grumbling about the world, without being able to go anywhere, than they would wander through the crowded world on Jesus-powered legs. And they're dying. Those churches would rather not learn how to talk through new problems. They'd rather not create thriving spaces with new generations of leaders, their youth and children. They'd rather not practice what they preach, that there's no Jew or Greek, slave or free. So they aren't really willing to be made well. They're just hoping that maybe an angel will sometime, someday, stir the water and they'll be the first one in. Well, for me, for us, I want with all my heart to be made well. I want to walk with you as we figure out what kind of trouble we're going to get into. I want to follow Jesus along with you into the spaces where others are in need of healing and they live and they wait, even if those places are on the backside of the temple, the backside of the festival. I want to walk with Jesus. I do want Jesus to trouble the water, and I want us to get in some trouble. Righteous trouble for doing the right things, for healing those that need it, for being healed, for responding to Jesus, for not sinning anymore, lest we be made worse than we were. I want to walk with Jesus. Do you? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we prayed already for folks that are grieving the loss of loved ones who have been in the service. We have a relatively long list of people in our congregation who are in need of prayer. Carl Jones recently is now in Person Memorial Hospital Extended Care. Buddy Bradshaw is there also. He's been moved up from Durham with his new pacemaker to get used to that. Ann Street is there as well. Tom Hill Clayton is at Roxburgh Nursing Center. Gail Fitzgerald, Rob was telling me, has continued to have some difficulty and is going to be coming home. Tom Hill is coming home later this week. They're still working on Gail coming home. She'll be home soon, but would appreciate love and prayers and visits and things like that. We lift up Carolyn Fashee and Alan Fashee. We heard, as I mentioned before, that Pam Day has some trouble with her eyes this morning, and so our prayers are with her. We also learned this morning, that Chuck Higgins' mother, Maxine, was in a very serious automobile accident in Georgia, in Albany, Georgia, and is currently in ICU. And so we request prayers for his mom, Maxine, but also for you, Chuck, because I know you'll be going down there this week, and we pray for and support you in this really difficult time. And I would ask that you'd lift up as a praise. My daughter Grace graduated, so she's taking on the world. But then another accident, my niece, Addie, who lives in Pennsylvania, was a playground structure kind of collapsed on top of her. And she suffered, as a 12-year-old, she suffered a compression fracture to her spine. And if you could pray for Addie this morning, I know my brother and his family and Addie would appreciate it. I just ask that during a few more moments that you would just call out the names of others that we are praying for this morning. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. We remember those who have fallen in service of our country. We remember all those who are in need of your healing and wellness. And we pray for our church body, for this community of faith, that you would make us well, that you would teach us to stop sinning and give us the courage to follow you wherever you lead, sinning by ways that things that we have done and ways that we have left them undone. God, restore the power of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Make us be the healers and give us your healing. God, we pray now the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.